After that, I'm going to get right into the sermon today. So today I would like to continue asking the question, what role you believe in will be the role of the end time servant? And so far we've covered the following questions, and I'm premising it differently. Obviously, we're talking about the tenets of Christian character, and these all fall in together. So I'll continue this. But so far, it's been a while since I've talked about this subject, so I'm just going to do a brief review. We've covered the points. Can you be a Christian without brotherly love and forgiveness? How does that pertain to you? Brotherly love and forgiveness. How many times do we apply these concepts to our lives? I've got to ask that question. Second thing we were asking, we have 12 before today's. Do you believe or do you feel you can make it to God's kingdom without being diligent, without actually studying and premising yourself upon the law? Do you believe, the third thing is, do you believe God is going to measure the pureness of your heart? Have you allowed it to be polluted? Have you allowed it to be become derelict in what he's looking for? The next point was, are you content with what you've been given? So many people want more. The greed of this world keeps applying itself. The fifth thing was point, do you believe compassion will play a role in obtaining salvation? It's a question you need to ask yourself. How do you judge other individuals? Do you judge other individuals? How much empathy will you eventually be called upon yourself to have? Do you feel you have been obedient concerning God's laws, statutes, and judgments? Another one was, do you believe God is looking for first fruits to either be meek or prideful? Another one was another tenet of Christian character. We're asked to practice to be vigilant, watchful, and sober-minded. Are we? In this day and age, do we apply those traits? Question straightforward. The ninth point betrays, do we have patience? Do we possess patience when it comes to these latter days? Or do we want everything now? The next characteristic is, do you believe you'll need to be a peacemaker? Something else to be concerned about. The next point was, there's only two left before I get into today's topic. Do you believe humility and repentance are traits you'll need to obtain eternal life? And they're all in your notes. You've been through these sermons already. The next point is it important how we conduct our lives? Today I would like to continue with the tenets of Christian character. And I'm just going to get right into the sermon today. I have a couple more points I need to give you, and I only have 4 points left, so this is close to the end of this series. But the point today is, do you believe God expects us to live our lives honestly? With honesty. Do you believe he expects us to be honest in our dealings? I'm just going to go right into the sermon today. We'll turn to John 8, the book of John 8, because I have a lot to cover. 8 and verse number 31. John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to them, those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. The next verse is, "And ye know that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Make you free. The truth shall make you free. Ironically, I'm not using the word honesty here. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible, by the way. But several things attribute to that word. That's what I'm going to go around today. Because the word honesty is only found once, but it holds a lot of accountability for each of us in all our dealings, what we do. Because the opposite of being honest is being dishonest. And the Bible points out the fate of liars and individuals that premise themselves as dishonest. But what Christ is stating here, if you state the truth, you are free from the dominion of sin. If you speak the truth, sin has no reign over you. It's when you lie and you are dishonest that falls short. When you get caught up in a lie, you are in the bondage of sin. Your actions, and what you state, you're talking about the tongue, controlling it, as James says. It's very significant in your overcoming and process of overcoming. We'll begin in Leviticus 19. We're talking about honesty. Do you live your lives in an honest way? Leviticus 19 and verse number 35. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter yard, in weight, or in measure. You shall have just balances, just weights, just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, ye shall observe my statutes, my judgments, and do them. And I am the Lord." So first thing to point out, how many people try to cheat the system? How many people try to violate this simple commandment or statute? How many people don't fulfill this obligation? I used to work in the grocery industry, and I read about it all the time where people made the weights off and actually charged people more. It was usually huge fines from the state if they were caught. That still goes on today, sad to say. Deuteronomy. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy 16. 16 and verse number 20. "That which is altogether just shall thou follow, and thou shalt live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The word just meaning ethically right, honest. Are your dealings honest? That's the question. God, throughout the Bible, points out they need to be. That's the premise. That's the point. Do you live your life that way? And that's what the requirement is as a first fruit. Job 27. And verse number 6, Job 27 and verse number 6, "My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me." It means reprove me. So long as I live, my righteousness shall I hold fast. Do we all live our lives that way? Righteousness meaning, in this frame of mind, meaning justice, truthfulness. Are we being truthful? You got to talk about how we live our lives. Is it under a cloud, not wanting to face the elements? Or do we place ourselves in a different realm where actually where our dealings are upright? How many people don't? Psalm 15. Psalm 15 and verse number 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall abide in your kingdom? That's what it's asking you. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes vile men are condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. How many times have you heard of individuals? How many scandals are going on in Congress right now? How many scandals are going on with lost homes, lost loans, because people have violated these principles and statutes? Do we, at first chance, backbite with our tongue, our reproach against a friend? Would you call this dealing honest? Yet people do that. Do you have the power to control your tongue? Or in many points, control yourself on the keyboard. The computer delivers a lot of blows as well. Mark 10. Mark 10 and verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy mother, father and thy mother." Defraud meaning having dishonest dealings. Do you think honesty is a trait you're going to have as you in search or in the period of overcoming? Are you honest in your dealings? That's the question. This is a trait that's often overlooked because people want to get the better of you. Are we dishonest in our dealings? Luke, the book of Luke 3. And I know I'm going pretty fast here. I apologize. Luke 3. In verse number 12, Luke 3 and verse 12, and then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And then he said unto them, I find it interesting, Christ's response here. Several times, he dealt directly with the individuals and their issues. What was the issues with the publicans? He said unto them, exact more than that which is appointed you. This tax collectors. And the soldiers likewise demanded from him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence no more. They're soldiers. He called them directly out. Do violence no more, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. We're instructed to be like Christ. How do we follow these principles today? We're talking honesty. How many times do you deal honestly with one another? How many times are you honest in your dealings with others? Strangers. Friends. The question I have to ask is, do we ask God to show us through prayer if we dealt with the individuals correctly? Are we living the life God allocated us to live? Are we violating God's laws? These are as important as so many other statutes that God's put forth. In addition, you got to ask the question, do we follow through with our dealings in a righteous manner? I'll give the example of the penny and the servants. They came in the 11th hour, they were still paid the same. Every time you make the statement, do you expect something for what wasn't bargained? Are you making yourself, do you place yourself in a position that you know wasn't discussed? Do we fear God? That's the question. How exact is he going to hold you accountable with a contract? Did you make the contract? You think about our lives as we process this concept. Everything we do, are our dealings above board and honest? Are we look to get the better of somebody else? There's going to be a day that we'll all be held accountable for our dealings. As first fruits, we are the example. We are to set the example. Acts 24. Acts 24, and verse number 14. Acts 24, and verse number 14. But this I confess unto you, unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the unjust and just. And therein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God, and a conscience void of offense towards man. That's the law that's been placed before us. How do we consider these things? Do we accuse falsely? Do we make an accusation which might be offensive against a brother, our sister? That's the point. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, and we have defrauded no man. Dealing honestly, have we? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 20. Avoid this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. The question is, do we provide honest things whenever we have dealings with other individuals? It's a simple trait. You all know the difference between right and wrong. Have you seared your conscience so badly that you're not complying with that benchmark of knowing what's right and wrong? If you talk against your brother, is it just something that's water off the back? If you talk against a neighbor, or you have aught with a neighbor, or you're at odds, how are you coping with it when you get down on your knees in prayer? That's the question we need to ask. How many times do we find ourselves giving a blind eye when we should be applying ourselves to the other principles, peacemaker, for example, which God has presented us with? Christian character. That's this entire point. Do we have it? Have we become so hardened? We find ourselves often not following the principles, statutes, and commandments that God set forth. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 and verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. That means anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things that are honest, whatsoever things that are just, whatsoever things that are pure, whatsoever things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are good, report. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Not the other things, the ugly things of this world, which we need to be putting aside and overcoming. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. And verse number 14. Isaiah 33. And verse number 14. And the sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who is among shall dwell with a devouring fire? This is a reference to God. Who among us shall dwell with thy everlasting burnings? He that walketh uprightly and speaketh uprightly, he that is despised to gain of oppressions, and that shaketh the hand of holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Sometimes we find ourselves walking the courses of the world, of this world. It's not always the place we should be, or at all the place we should be. Someday we will answer to the commandments and how we dealt with each other, how we dealt with our business dealings, how we dealt with our neighbors. I remember a gypsy family, when I was working for Safeway. About Christmas time, they bought a prime rib roast. And they bought it for $66. And I was called up front for the return. And at the time, we had a policy that we didn't question it. We just took the identification and went through the process. And they returned a little bit. I mean, we're talking, it's a $66 roast. It's pretty good size, over a foot long, about 15 to 18 inches at that point, the ribeye. And they brought back about $4 worth of it. And the reason for the return was it was dry and it didn't taste good. When I, she said there wasn't much flavor and it was dry. In January of that year, I got promoted to my own store, and I moved from the Rose City store about, I'm guessing, 5 to 10 miles away, pretty close, still within the boundaries of Portland. And as I got my own store, just right after Easter, I got called up front with a customer, and the meat manager was already up there because the meat manager was a bit irritated because it was a $70 bill at that point in my own store. So as I got up front, Long behold, the same lady was standing in the front, and she didn't recognize me. But what I did was I took her ID from her, and I wrote all her information down, and I denied the return. My meat manager was elated. He was just like doing the whoopee-doo dance. And I got a hold of the security officer. She was complaining all the way out the store. But I pointed out to her she was picking up her ID and walking away. I pointed out to her, I had the same type of individual transaction take place in Rose City. I'm the same individual. And at that point, she looked very embarrassed. She left the store. I never got a complaint from her, but I turned it into security. And as I turned it into the security officers, they went back 2 years. And she'd been hitting every store in the Portland metro area, returning holiday roast for what was left of it. Is there or was there a fear of God in her mind? Was she looking to do anything honestly with that transaction? How many people, obviously, did it affect? But who knows how long she had been getting away with it, but they actually had a file where everybody did the right thing, took down her information, and just turned it in, but nobody understood or draw a correlation. How is our dealings with our neighbors? How is our dealings with, in perspective, what God's looking for? Are they honest? Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19 and verse number 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that perverseth with his lips and is a fool. We're talking no fear. Did this individual have fear? Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises a wicked imagination, feet that be running to mischief, a false witness, them that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates a dishonest tongue, among other things. Proverbs 12 and verse number 23. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And the hand of a diligent shall bear rule, and the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart makes the man stoop, but a good word makes it glad. What I want to focus on here is verse number 27, or verse number 28. In the righteous, in the way of righteousness is life, but in the pathway thereof there is no death. You got to ask yourself the question, is there a fear of accountability? That's the premise we often fall into with all these SNL scandals and all these things that are taking place now. It's limited accountability at best. I was talking to someone earlier in the midst of the IRS scandal, which is going on right now. I find it interesting that they're supposed to be the epitome of integrity. But obviously, there's issues even within the epitome of integrity's lines of leadership. Colossians 3, and verse number 6. For which thing's sake of the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye shall put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed to the knowledge after the image of them that created him. How is it? You got to talk about yourself, what God commands from you. There'll be people to try to take advantage of you, but are you following this trait? You're being honest in your dealings. That's what God requires from you. That's what you should be adhering to. Simply put, couple more verses here. Ephesians 4, verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away, lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. This is how we've been instructed to live our lives, do we? This is how we've been instructed to treat each other. Is that how you live your life? Proverbs 16. Back to the book of Proverbs 16. And verse number 23. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise man teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and the health of the bones. Verse number 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. In his lips there shall be a burning fire, as a burning fire. And a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Which one or individual do you want to be? That's the point. How do you live your life? Honestly? 1 Timothy 2 is the verse I was talking to you about. This is the time This is the verse that this word is actually utilized. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 2. For kings have all authority for that that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Do we? That's the principal point. Are you honest with your work ethic, the games you play, your line of reasoning? Are you honest with your social dealings, with your social transactions? God's looking at Christian character. Christ, we're to live like Christ. Are we honest before our brothers? That's the point. How many times do we find ourselves in a lie? How many times we find ourselves in a deceitful situation? You need to look at it. As you get on your knees, that's not the way God wants us to live our lives. Point number two today, do you believe knowledge can be a tenet of Christian character? I'm premising this knowledge, godly knowledge. Obviously, we understand the difference. Do you believe this will be necessary for advancing, actually obtaining eternal life? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the armor of God? That's a question we need to. Armor is the equipment of a soldier, of God, a Christian soldier. So you're asking yourself basically a pointed question. Have you prepared yourself to fight the wiles of the devil? Have you prepared yourself to understand the difference between right and wrong? Have you prepared yourself to understand the Christian, the tenets of Christian character? Is your conscience seared? Or do you live as we've read before in this sermon? Have we read the verses before? Do you live a life where you actually have advanced that your conscience is clean before all men? Ephesians 6. I'll pick the pace up here. Real quick, Ephesians 6, and verse number 11, Ephesians 6 and verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that ye be not able to withstand, that you be able to withstand in the day of evil or evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All, above all, taking on the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. How many times have you find yourself lulled to sleep where you're listening or doing reasoning that actually gives credence to some of the things that are happening in the world today? We understand what's been placed before us. Do we understand our objective to qualify for eternal life? Do you believe that it's a tenet to qualify for eternal life? Who is the fight against? We just read it. It's against Satan and his demons, his army. principalities and high places. Does your party have a chance if you're not? Or do you have a chance if you're not plugged in, tuned in to praying? Scheduled time to pray? How about fasting, occasional fasting? How about study? Do you make time? How do you rejuvenate yourself and prepare if you don't make time to study and pray? Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse number 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. I ask the question. We understand this is talking about the world tomorrow. That's the way we understand it to be today. Have you not been catechized? Have you not been given that knowledge now? As first fruits, let's turn to 2 Peter. We pick this up real quick. You got to talk about knowledge. How is knowledge going to be a key factor pertaining to your overcoming what is thrown at you in today's world? 2 Peter 1 and verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, according to his divine power hath given us unto things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. We are first fruits. The means there, that means there will be a responsibility and a reward awaiting us. Are we up to it? Daniel 2. The book of Daniel 2. I want to get a couple more verses in here. Daniel 2 and verse number 19. Then the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for the wisdom and might are his. And he that changes the seasons, the times and the seasons, he that removeth kings and setteth kings up, he that giveth wisdom upon the wise and knowledge to them that understand. He revealeth the deep things and the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. How many times do you find yourself passing by prayer? How many times do you find yourself not adhering to study? How many times do you pick your Bible up on a weekly basis? How can you prepare if you don't put forth the effort? How can you expect God to hear your prayer if you're not developing a relationship. Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse number 20. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh, is in the process of overcoming, that's what that means, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have also overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear. How many times do you find yourself in a situation where you're not studying and you find things are going wrong and failing you? We are first fruits. We are to be catechized to the point that we understand if we have trouble, we turn in prayer. If things, something that we need to overcome, we occasionally fast. And we should always be studying. Godly knowledge. I'm not talking about what the world has offered. You can add two more points to these traits. You got to consider yourself. Do you consider yourself to be an honest individual in all your relationships? And have you received and retained God's knowledge in your daily lives? That means everything. It's important to understand we're at war with principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. How can you fight the fight without any armor? How do you get that armor? Without prayer, study, and the occasional, obviously, fasting, understanding. We're obligated, obviously, to keep those holy days and statutes, live by the principles that he set forth. Knowledge is important. That's the point. Our dealing with how we deal with others honestly is also important. Those are two more tenets we need to apply to this list of tenets.